Welcome, everyone. Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I'm so pleased to see all of you from different parts of this land here. I'm glad you're joining with us. And I appreciate this opportunity that the Lord has given me to preach this morning. If I could give a title to my sermon, it would probably be steadfast in Christ in this ever-ripening land of iniquity. I'm going to start off by reading in 2nd Book of Timothy. And I'm going to read in chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, that means without self-control, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Doesn't mean don't witness to them. It means don't commune with them in activities with them that would cause yourself to be tempted, that would cause a stumbling block from others. But I want to go through some of these. Lovers of their own selves. And I think this one can go quite well with lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. We are so tempted to please ourselves. Each day, we're tempted. And our world advertises to that temptation. And so often, we have to fight against that temptation to please ourselves rather than please God. There are things that we do, and often we'll ask our friends, our family, did you have fun? It's a phrase we commonly use. And while I don't think it's evil to have fun, it should not be our central focus. The Word of God says that man is that he might have joy. Joy. Joy comes from obedience to God, from trust, from reading His Word, trusting it, and doing what it says. I'm going to go on now to I'm going to move back one chapter to chapter 2, and I'm going to read verses 22 through 26. How do we resist these temptations that are planted in our day, that we're faced with every day? Here's an answer. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So follow righteousness. That's obedience to God. Follow faith, trust in God's word. So before you trust, you have to read it and know it and rely upon him. Charity, that pure love of Christ. Accept it into your life. Allow him to love you by reading his word, by drawing near to him in prayer, and then love others with that same love. Peace. When we are obedient to God's word, we have peace. And it says here, it's telling us who we should spend our time with. With them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. So don't try to study the word of God so you can tell everybody what you know and you can prove to them what's right. But study it to draw near to him, that he can guide you. And the servants of the Lord must not strive. And are we all not servants? We are servants. We are all servants of the Lord, those of us who've taken upon us the name of Jesus Christ, who've entered into a covenant with him and witnessed it by going into the waters of baptism, who've received that gift of the Holy Ghost to guide and direct our path. And so we are his servants. We have committed to serve him each and every day of our life. And what a joy it is when we fulfill that commitment, that covenant. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. So that shows us how, when we're talking to others, when they offend us, when they're angry at us, when they don't want to have anything to do with us, we can still reach out to them. And we reach out to them with gentleness. In another place it says, speak the truth in love. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. So often when we're faced with a trial, someone in our lives who is doing something we know is going to wreck their lives, we have to be patient with them, and we have to seek God for them in fasting and prayer. We did that a week ago, as the whole church, general church, gathered together, some ministry and some locals, and fasting in prayer for those who are not with us. And I want to tell you, God is faithful. God is faithful. When we seek him in fasting in prayer, he hears that prayer. When we are obedient to his commands and we draw near to him in fasting and prayer, he hears that prayer. And he'll touch that person who we're praying for. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. What a promise that is, that they have that opportunity of repentance. And so we should seek God for those who have gone astray, and continue in fasting and prayer. I'm going to turn now to the third book of Nephi, chapter 3, beginning in verse 8. And I want to give you a little background about what we're going to read. This is after Christ's birth. I think it's going to tell us what year. So I'll go ahead and take you there. But this is on this land. It's in third book of Nephi, chapter 3, beginning in verse 8. And what I want you to all to be aware of as we read through this, I want you to be aware of how quickly the people of this land, who were believers, strayed from their belief in Christ. How quickly they went into sin and abomination. And I want you to consider this for our day. We have seen our nation quickly ripen in iniquity. We've seen that happen in our nation, and it's begun to happen among us. And we need to be aware that the devil is a roaring lion, and he seeks not only to take those that he's already taken from us, but he seeks to take you and I. Beginning in verse 8 on page 617, third book of Nephi, chapter 3, verse 8. And it came to pass that there were many cities built anew, and there were many old cities repaired, and there were many highways cast up, and many roads made, which led from city to city, and from land to land, and from place to place. And thus passed away the 28th year, and the people had continual peace. They had peace. They were obedient to God. They believed in Him. They were keeping His commandments. But it came to pass in the 29th year, there began to be some disputings among the people. I don't know if you all remember, in a little bit later in this book, Christ teaches His doctrine, and He said His doctrine is not contention, but that the contention is of the devil. Disputings are of the devil. That should not be among us in the Church of Christ, and I'm so pleased that in recent years, we have grown to love one another as one body. I believe that. I've seen it. And I thank God for it. We still have disagreements, but we don't allow them, I don't see it anyway, to be disputings, where we get angry with one another. But this is where it begins. This is where it began at this time, the disputings among the people. Verse 11, and some were lifted up unto pride and boastings, lovers of themselves, seeking their own will, their own pleasure, their own standing rank before the people. Some were lifted up unto pride and boastings because of their exceeding great riches, yea, even unto great persecutions. For there were many merchants in the land, and also many lawyers and many officers. And the people began to be distinguished by ranks according to their riches. We see that in our land. According to their riches and their chances for learning. Yea, some were ignorant because of their poverty, and others did receive great learning because of their riches. Some were lifted up in pride, and others were exceeding humble. Some did return railing for railing, while others would receive railing and persecution and all manner of afflictions, and would not turn and revile again. but were humble and penitent before God. And thus were thus there became a great inequality in all the land, insomuch that the church began to be broken up, yea, insomuch that in the 30th year, think how fast that happened. They were in peace in the 28th year, and already in the 30th year, there was this inequality. In the 30th year, the church was broken up in all the land, save it were among a few of the Lamanites, which were converted unto the true faith. And they would not depart from it. And they were firm and steadfast and immovable, willing with all diligence to keep the commandments of the Lord. That's the verse I want us to focus on. The devil is going to seek to divide this church. This church in this land is the last hope for this land. And the devil wants to destroy this land, so he seeks to divide our families. He seeks to divide our church so that he can divide our nation and divide this world. So they had great divisions here, but think how these Lamanites reacted. And that's how we should all act so that this division doesn't happen to us. They were, I would imagine, they were the ones that were willing to receive railing and persecution in verse 14 and all manner of afflictions and would not turn and revile again. So when somebody yells at you, somebody talks bad about you, you don't return the favor. You seek the Lord for them. You pray for them. You pray for your enemy, because at that time they're your enemy. You pray for them. You fast and pray for them. And then it says in verse 16 that they would not depart from the true faith. That meant they knew it. They were in the Word of God daily, preparing their life, preparing their soul for the temptations they were to face each day. They read it in the morning, I'm guessing. I'm not reading that. They read it. They knelt before the Lord and asked him for his guidance. If they had not, I'm sure they were taught to be baptized, to make a covenant, because at this time they had known of baptism. Alma had taught them earlier. So it says that they were firm, steadfast. Remember, that's the title of this sermon, being steadfast in Christ in this ever-ripening world of iniquity. They were steadfast, immovable. That means when they were tempted, they didn't stray, because they stayed grounded on Christ's word. They believed it. They believed what it says, that we should ask him when we have a need, that we should rely alone upon the merits of Christ. Willing with all diligence, even when it became hard and difficult and they didn't want to, willing with all diligence to keep the commandments of the Lord. And they were blessed. They were blessed with joy. They may not have had a lot of fun or maybe they had some fun, but they have joy. Turn with me now to Mormon chapter 4. And this is a prophecy of the day that this, the time frame in which this Book of Mormon came forth. And it has gotten worse. Book of Mormon chapter 4, verses 46 through 56. And I remember the first time I read this. I was in college, and I was reading through the Book of Mormon. I had, ashamed to say, I was a partier at that time. And God told me, I don't know how he told me, I just knew I was supposed to stay home. And so I got down on my knees and I prayed. I went to Graceland College and I was on my knees in prayer and I said, God, what do you want me to do? And he told me to read the Book of Mormon. And I began to read from beginning to end. And I read it that year. And what a change it made in my life, in my faith, in my hope, in my desire to serve God. And I remember when I read this for the first time, this very first verse says, "Behold, I speak unto you as if ye were present, and yet ye are not." And it was like I almost saw him. And I almost saw Moroni. I think this is Moroni speaking here. I almost saw him talking to me. I felt him. And I can't explain it other than as I read through this prophecy, I knew it was true. And when he said those words, it was like he was there saying them to me, warning me. And so think of that as we read through this. Think of that at these words as that personal. "Behold, I speak unto you," verse 46, "as if ye were present, and yet ye are not. But behold, Jesus Christ hath shewn you unto me, and I know your doing. And I know that ye do walk in the pride of your hearts. And there are none, save a few only, which do not lift themselves up in the pride of their hearts unto the wearing of very fine apparel, unto envying and strifes and malice and persecutions and all manner of iniquities. And your churches, yea, every one, have become polluted because of the pride of your hearts. For behold, ye do love money and your substance and your fine apparel and the adorning of your churches more than ye love the poor and the needy, the sick and the afflicted. O ye pollutions, ye hypocrites, ye teachers, which sell yourselves for that which will canker, why have ye polluted the holy church of God? Why are ye ashamed to take upon you the name of Christ?" And that part always gets me there. Ashamed to take upon you the name of Christ. And that's what happens when we're provided an opportunity to witness to somebody and we pass it by. Because we're ashamed of him. And yet, why? When he's provided us with everything we need to offer that testimony to someone else. And he's given us an opportunity to change, to save one soul as the sons of Mosiah wanted to do when they went to the Lamanites. "Why are ye ashamed to take upon you the name of Christ? Why do you not think that greater is the value of an endless happiness than the misery which never dies because of the praise of the world?" See how deceptive the praise of the world can be. Wanting you all to like me. That's the praise of the world. Doing things so someone will like me, rather than doing things to please God because he said, because he commanded. And when we allow that praise of the world to tempt us and to take us, we lose that value of an endless happiness, an endless joy. But that joy is so much greater. Verse 54, why do you adorn yourselves with that which hath no life, and yet suffer the hungry and the needy and the naked and the sick and the afflicted to pass by you and notice them not? Yea, why do you build up your secret abominations to get gain and cause that widows should mourn before the Lord and also orphans to mourn before the Lord and also the blood of their fathers and their husbands to cry unto the Lord from the ground for vengeance upon your heads? Behold, the spirit of vengeance hangeth over you, and the time soon cometh that he avengeth the blood of the saints upon you, for he will not suffer their cries any longer. That's a promise. So when God provides us an opportunity to truly help someone who's poor, not only poor in food and clothing and wealth, but poor in spirit, somebody who has no knowledge of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we need to fulfill their need. First Peter chapter 5, verses 5 through 11. And this is other counsel on how we can start as from the youth, you young people out there, from our youth being humble, recognizing our own weakness and God's greatness. Starting in verse 5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Listen to those who are older than you, who've gone through those same temptations, the same situations. Listen to their wisdom. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. So he answers the prayers of the humble. He resisteth the proud. Those who only seek their own will, but those who seek God's will, he answers their prayers. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Sometimes we don't realize how much he cares for you. In just a little bit, I'm going to read how much he cares for us. I'm going to read about when Christ was on this land and he prayed for you and I. Imagine how much he cares for us, that he not only prayed for us individually, but he also prayed, so he also offered himself up as a living sacrifice. He was tempted like we are. He cared so much about us that he might be able to succor us, help us in our time of need. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And that's the warning I want to give you, is that there is a devil, and he is trying to tempt us to stray every day with anger, with greed, with lust, with... Go to Galatians 5. You can see a whole list of all these temptations. He's trying to cause us to stray with. But he walks about as a roaring lion, seeing whom he may devour. Think of that word devour. Death. He seeks our spiritual death. He doesn't want us to have joy. Whom resist the devil, verse 9, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So a few things from that scripture we read. We need to be humble. We need to be sober. Not be carried away by our own pleasures, but sober. Focused on the Word of God and the functioning of the Holy Ghost in our lives. Vigilant, aware that the devil is a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. Now please turn with me to Alma chapter 5, beginning in verse 17. This was written about in 82 BC, and he will talk a little bit about that covenant that we make with Christ. And I want to remind us of that covenant, first of all, for those who have not made that covenant with Christ. And second, as a reminder of to us of those who have made that covenant. Alma chapter 5, verse 17. And this is Alma speaking, and he says, he's speaking to the people of Gideon. And it says, but behold, the Spirit hath said this much unto me, saying, cry unto this people, saying, repent ye, repent ye. In other words, turn away from your sin. Prepare the way of the Lord and walk in his paths, which are straight. For behold, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and the Son of God cometh upon the face of the earth. So he was prophesying some 82 years before his birth. And behold, he shall be born of Mary at Jerusalem, which is the land of our forefathers, he being a virgin, she being a virgin, a precious and chosen vessel, who shall be overshadowed and conceived by the power of the Holy Ghost, and bring forth a son, yea, even the Son of God. And he shall go forth, suffering pains and afflictions and temptations of every kind. And I just want to stop a second, because often we think that nobody knows our temptations. This tells me that Christ was faced with temptations of every kind. So if you're tempted with something, he's already been through it, and he'll give you the strength to overcome it. And he shall go forth suffering pains and afflictions and temptations of every kind. And this, that the word might be fulfilled, which saith, he will take upon him the pains and the sicknesses of his people, and he will take upon him death. that he may loose the bands of death which bind his people. And he will take upon him their infirmities, that his bowels may be filled with mercy according to the flesh, that he may know according to the flesh how to succor his people according to their infirmities. Now the Spirit knoweth all things, nevertheless the Son of God suffereth according to the flesh, that he might take upon him the sins of his people, that he might blot out their transgressions according to the power of his deliverance. And now behold, this is the testimony which is in me. Now I say unto you that ye must repent and be born again. For the Spirit saith, if ye are not born again, ye cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. Therefore come and be baptized unto repentance, that ye may be washed from your sins, that ye may have faith on the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world, which is mighty to save and to cleanse from all unrighteousness. Yea, I say unto you, come and fear not, lay aside every sin which easily doth beset you, which doth bind you down to destruction. And that's what our sin does. It binds us down to destruction. Little by little, you know, we allow one sin in our life and we allow it to keep going. And the devil binds that cord around us with another sin and then another sin until we're taken to destruction. Unless we repent, we turn from that sin, and we turn to that God, that Son of God who gave himself willingly for us. And we believe that through his merits, through what he did, he has the right to save us. And that he has the ability to give us strength in our time of need. And this is that covenant that he's offering us, and that some of us have grabbed a hold of. Yea, come and go forth and shew unto your God that ye are willing to repent of your sins and enter into a covenant with him to keep his commandments. Promise him you'll keep his commandments. And witness it unto him this day by going down into the waters of baptism. And whoso doeth this and keepeth the commandments of God from thenceforth, the same remembereth that I say unto him, yea, he will remember that I have said unto him, he shall have eternal life according to the testimony of the Holy Spirit which testifieth in me. Turn with me now to 2nd book of Nephi, chapter 13, and I want to read just a little bit about that baptism. 2nd book of Nephi, chapter 13, beginning in verse 16. Christ was baptized in obedience to his Father. He did not commit sin, but he set an example for us. And in verse 16 here of 2nd book of Nephi, chapter 13, it says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, I know that if ye shall follow the Son with full purpose of heart, acting no hypocrisy and no deception before God, but with real intent, really repenting of your sins, with real intent, repenting of your sins, witnessing unto the Father that ye are willing to take upon you the name of Christ by baptism, yea, by following your Lord and Savior down into the water, according to his word. Behold, then shall ye receive the Holy Ghost. That's how we can keep his commandments after that baptism, because he baptizes us with the Holy Ghost. God with us, to guide us, to possess our bodies, to give us that help in time of need, that help in time of joy, that help to be obedient to his commandments. Verse 18, but behold, my beloved brethren, thus came the voice of the Son, saying, after that ye have repented of your sins and witnessed unto the Father that you are willing to keep my commandments by the baptism of water and have received the baptism of fire and of the Holy Ghost and can speak with a new tongue, yea, even with the tongue of angels, and after this should deny me, it would have been better for you that ye had not known me. A warning. That covenant is serious. It's important because we can't have eternal life without it. But when you make it, it better be for life. And you better cling to his word and his commandments that you will not be one of those that fall astray, that aren't among us. Verse 27, and now, my beloved brethren, after that ye have gotten into this straight and narrow path, I would ask if all is done. Behold, I say unto you, nay, for ye have not come thus far, save it were by the word of Christ, with unshaken faith in him, relying upon the merits of him who is mighty to save. We didn't come to that covenant unless we had faith that his word is true, that he can truly save us, that he can give us eternal life. And so if we're going to continue on this path with this Holy Ghost, keeping his commandments, we can only continue doing that by relying alone upon the merits of Christ, truly believing in his word that he'll give us the strength we need in time of need. Verse 29, wherefore ye must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope, always having that hope for eternal life, that joy for eternity, and we must have a love of God and of all men. Wherefore, if ye press forward, feasting upon the word of Christ, and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. The devil seeks to distract us. He seeks to distract us with busy lives, things to do, jobs and pleasing others. Sometimes we put that before pleasing God. And then we get distracted from the most important things, the things that were listed here, feasting upon Christ's word, enduring to the end, having a love of God and of all men. He distracts us from functioning in the body of Christ, that part of the body God has gifted us with, that function of the body of Christ. And then the body doesn't function properly. The body, this body, the congregation, when we are distracted by things of the world. So we must have faith in Christ. We must rely upon his merits. We must have that perfect brightness of hope that he'll give us eternal life if we keep his commandments, that he'll give us strength in time of need, and we must have a love of God and of all men. Next chapter 14, verses 1 through 5. And now, my beloved brethren, now behold, my beloved brethren, I suppose that ye ponder somewhat in your hearts concerning that which ye should do after that ye have entered in by the way. But behold, why do ye ponder these things in your hearts? Do ye not remember that I said unto you that after ye have received the Holy Ghost, ye could speak with the tongue of angels? And it's going to explain in this next verse what that tongue of angels is that we receive when we receive the Holy Ghost. It says, and now how could ye speak with the tongue of angels, save it were by the Holy Ghost? angels speak, or in other words, the tongue of angels, language of angels, angels speak by the power of the Holy Ghost, wherefore they speak the words of Christ. So he gives us the ability, when we are baptized with the Holy Ghost, to speak the words of Christ. How else could we be a light in this world but be able to speak his words to a sinful generation? And we have that opportunity. Next verse, wherefore I said unto you, feast upon the words of Christ. For behold, the words of Christ will tell you all things what ye should do. That's why he tells us to read his word every day, so we know what we're going to do. I don't know how many times I've read God's word, and that day I was faced with something God prepared me for ahead of time because I feasted on his word. And what a joy it is to not fear or worry when you're faced with a sudden situation because you're grounded on the word. You know what to do. He's told you because you feasted on his words. He's told you all things that what you should do. Verse 5, wherefore now after I have spoken these things, if ye cannot understand them, it will be because ye ask not, neither do ye knock. Wherefore ye are not brought into the light, but must perish in the dark. You don't know what to do? You've read the word? Ask him. That's what he gave you the Holy Ghost for, to speak the answers to you, to give you guidance. Verse 10. And now, my beloved brethren, I perceive that ye ponder still in your hearts, and it grieveth me that I must speak concerning this thing. For if ye would hearken unto the Spirit which teacheth a man to pray. Often Christ said that we should not cease to pray, that we should pray continually in our hearts. If you would hearken unto the Spirit which teacheth a man to pray, ye would know that ye must pray, for the evil spirit teacheth not a man to pray, but teacheth him that he must not pray. But behold, I say unto you that ye must pray always and not faint, that ye must not perform anything unto the Lord, save it for in the first place ye shall pray unto the Father in the name of Christ, and he will consecrate thy performance unto thee, that thy performance may be for the welfare of thy soul. So pray over everything. Pray over everything you do, that it might be in service to your God, and that you would keep his commandments. Alma chapter 12, verses 1 through 5. And now it came to pass that as Alma was journeying from the land of Gideon southward, away from the land to Monte, behold, to his astonishment, he met with the sons of Mosiah. The sons of Mosiah were some of the biggest examples for me. They called themselves the very vilest of sinners, and yet God was willing to forgive them. That gave me hope, that although I had committed abominations before God, he was willing to forgive me. And you know what their response was? That they might save one soul, and they risked their lives to go to the Lamanites, that they might save one soul. And because of it, thousands were saved. And so when I read about them, it always gives me joy. But this talks about what they did to be steadfast. Alma met with the sons of Mosiah in verse 1, journeying towards the land of Zarahemla. Now these sons of Mosiah were with Alma at the time the angel first appeared unto him. Therefore Alma did rejoice exceedingly to see brethren, his brethren. And what added more to his joy? That they were still his brethren in the Lord. I love that. Times like today when I see some of you brothers and sisters from Phoenix and from Tennessee and from all over, I love seeing your faces because I know you're steadfast in the Lord. I know that you're still seeking him and you're still fighting the good fight. And I love that time at conference and reunions, seeing those faces. That's how Alma felt, but it had been some 14 years, I think it was. He did rejoice exceedingly to see his brethren. And what added more to his joy, they were still his brethren in the Lord. Yea, and they had waxed strong in the knowledge of the truth. For they were men of a sound understanding, and they had searched the scriptures diligently. Why were they of a sound understanding? Because they had searched the scriptures diligently. They had feasted on the words of Christ, that they might know the word of God. But this is not all. They had given themselves to much prayer and fasting. I was so pleased last week when we joined as a congregation and joined others in other congregations fasting and prayer. And this says that they were men of sound understanding because they'd given themselves to much fasting and prayer. And so we should too give ourselves to much fasting and prayer. Much prayer and fasting. Therefore, what happened because they'd given themselves to much prayer and fasting? They had the spirit of prophecy and the spirit of revelation. And when they taught with power and authority. When they taught, people knew it was from God. Even as with the power and authority of God. Third book of Nephi, chapter 9, verses 20. As we pray, as we are on this path of enduring to the end of our lives, being faithful in keeping the commandments to the Lord, let us remember that Christ prayed for us, that he prayed that we would have strength. In the third book of Nephi, chapter 9, verses 20 through 23, he prayed these things to the Father. Third book of Nephi, chapter 9, verses 20 through 23. And it came to pass that Jesus departed out of the midst of them, his disciples, and went a little way off from them and bowed himself to the earth. And he saith, Father, I thank thee that thou hast given the Holy Ghost unto these whom I have chosen, his disciples. And it is because of their belief that I have chosen them out of the world, because they believed in him. They believed in what he said. They believed in his words. Father, I pray thee that thou wilt give the Holy Ghost unto all them that shall believe in their words. That's talking to you and I. If we believe in these words of Christ, Christ prayed for us that we'd be given the Holy Ghost. Father, thou hast given the Holy Ghost because they believe in me, and thou seest that they believe in me because thou hearest them, and they pray unto me, and they pray unto me because I am with them. And now, Father, I pray unto thee for them, and also for all they that shall believe on their words, that they may believe in me, that I may be in them, as thou, Father, art in me, that we may be one. How beautiful. What a gift the Holy Ghost is. Verse 28 through 34. And he turned from them again and went a little way off and bowed himself into the earth, and he prayed again unto the Father, saying, Father, I thank thee that thou hast purified these which I have chosen because of their faith. I pray for them, and also for them which shall believe on their words, for they that they may be purified in me. So Christ also prayed for our purity, that we would be purified in him. Father, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given unto me out of the world, because of their faith, that they may be purified in me, that I might be in them, as thou, Father, art in me, that we may be one, and I may be glorified in them. And it came to pass that when Jesus had spoken these words, he came unto his disciples, and behold, they did pray steadfastly without ceasing unto him. And he did smile upon them again, and behold, they were white, even as Jesus. And it came to pass that he went again a little way off and prayed unto the Father, and tongue cannot speak the words which he prayed. This is so fascinating to me. Neither can be written by man the words which he prayed. And the multitude did hear and do bear record, and their hearts were open, and they did understand in their hearts the words which he prayed. Nevertheless, so great and marvelous were the words which he prayed that they cannot be written, neither can they be uttered by man. How great Christ was to pray for us. We don't even know all that he prayed for us, but he prayed for you and I, that we would have strength in a time of need, in trial and temptation, in sadness and sorrow and depression, that he would give us strength in our time of need. Last scripture verse, I'm going to reread what our brother Gary Welch read this morning. I thought it was a perfect ending to the sermon. 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not ours only, for the sins of the whole, but for also for the sins of the whole world. He wills that all men might be saved. But we have to come to him. We have to keep his commandments. We have to make that covenant with him. We have to endure to the end in faith in Christ. And hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. May God bless us that we would walk as Jesus Christ walked, that we would rely alone upon his merits, that we would believe his word, that we would be witnesses to this world, that we would cherish that gift of the Holy Ghost and allow it to function daily in our lives, that we would feast on his word and live according to his commandments. God bless.